Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man." Let that ring. How often I've had people come to me and say, "Dave, you don't understand. What I'm going through, no human being has ever gone through before." What? You don't get. No. Let's back up. Whatever you're going through, common to men and women. Common. Whatever you're going through, others have gone through it. And that's why we're here together. This is why we do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. As iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. We need each other. We glean from one another. And I guarantee you there is somebody that has gone through whatever you're going through. And it'd be great to be able to kind of like pair you up with them because they've gotten through it. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There's a road. There's a journey through this. That God has already, you're in this situation, got it. It's a trial, got it. There is a road for you to get through. God has provided it for you. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Father, I just ask you, just give me the strength to get through this. He will, but he also wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think as you go through it. "According to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Every trial, every difficulty that you go through, Father, that it might bring you glory. Somehow show me how as I go through this, that it will be able to bring you glory. And I'll tell you, one of the ways is because people are watching. They're watching you go through it. And they're watching if you're going to whine and complain and give up as you go through it. Or you'll be able to have the strength that you quickly admit that you were wrong and how you're maybe portraying the trial or whatever, and now all of a sudden they see the joy of your salvation carry you through this, through the person of Jesus Christ, to be able to bring God glory, to be able to prove the genuineness of your faith. And as you go through it, guess what? You have grown up that much more in the person of Jesus Christ, and you're becoming more Christ-like. And that's exactly what God wants to do in every single one of our trials. He wants to develop us to be like his son. In Matthew 16, 24, it says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he needs to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Just understand that this is what is going to be required for every single trial that you go through, a denial of self. A denial of self. You want to follow Christ? As we say just about every week, narrow is the gate, difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Once you come through that gate, what is going to be required of you as a follower of the person of Jesus Christ is going to require self-denial. "But Dave, I just seem to be denying myself all the time." Great. You're going to get that much closer to the Lord, okay? I mean, because that is what's required of us. To love God, love others. Denial is going to be needed. This is what's going on with Israel right now. They need to learn to trust God. So then God will continue to put them in situations where they can choose to trust God or react in the flesh. They have that choice before them. Pillar of cloud right here. His presence is before them. They could choose to put their eyes on the presence of God right there, or they can choose to look at the army and then say snarky things to Moses, which is what they chose to do, okay? And so they chose instead to be fearful. And then when you're fearful, you have a tendency to kind of lash out, and they begin to blame their leader, Moses. And in choosing to be fearful, they rebel. In Psalm 106:7, we had read this earlier, our father in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. And this is how they're doing it. And we're going to see it also speaks of other things that happen once they're on the other side and things like that. But understand what fear is. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. And God will bring you into many difficulties that look very, very scary to see if you're going to choose to be fearful or to have faith. Because when you have faith in Him, it will cast out the fear. The fear will be gone. Because you'll remember who dwells inside of you, that He is with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. The opposite of faith is fear. This is why Moses would say in verse 13, and Moses said to the people, what's the first thing he says? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You see the wisdom here? Do not be afraid. Does fear ever help? I'm so glad I was fearful in that situation so I can make that decision. What? When has fear ever made a good decision? You know? So again, fear, it never helps. It just makes us more miserable. It makes us anxious. It makes us more stressful. I want you to go to Isaiah 44. Go to Isaiah 44. Here in Isaiah 44, in the first seven verses, deals with God restoring Israel. It talks about the restoration of Israel, okay? Because He is God and no one else is. Okay, only God can do that. And it speaks about the future restoration of Israel that God is going to do. And then verses 6 through 23 speak of the foolishness of idolatry. If God is the one that can do these things, if God is the one that can do all things, then how silly it is to worship idols that can do nothing. Okay, that can do nothing. So God starts out here in verse 6 of His superiority. All right? He's the one that's going to restore Israel. And so in verse 6, it says this, thus says the Lord, Yahweh, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Yahweh of hosts, God's army. Look what He says. I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. It's only Him, the one who created the heavens and the earth. It's the only God that there is. How foolish to try and go after something else that is not a God. The first and the last speaks of time. It speaks of the beginning of creation, which also speaks of the beginning of human history. Last means the end of human history. It's interesting, He calls Himself the first and the last three times, all in the book of Isaiah. He says this in Isaiah 41:4. He says it here in 44 verse 6, as well as verse 48 verse 12. The final division of this book of Isaiah speaks of the servant of Yahweh, who is seen as the suffering Messiah. It's interesting, in the book of Revelation, the Messiah is no longer suffering. Instead, He is glorified. And it is here three times that we see that the servant of Yahweh, the Messiah, Jesus, also calls Himself the first and the last in Revelation 1:17, in Revelation 2:8, Revelation 22, verse 13. Thus showing that the Messiah, Jesus, is Yahweh, the first and the last. Verse 7 of Isaiah 44 says, and who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it, set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Verse 7 is declaring that Yahweh, God himself, is the one that controls all events of history. He's on the throne. He's always been on the throne. He's never not been on the throne. Is this the God that you believe in? Verse 8. Because he is the God who is the first and the last and controls all events of history, verse 8, do not fear, nor be afraid. Why? He's with you. This is the God that you believe in. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He has just told you. He's the reason for everything. He is the first and the last. He controls it all. He's on the throne. You're one of his children. Therefore, do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? We're going to see what that time is. You are my witnesses. Because you are his, you're his children, you are his witnesses. Is there a God beside me? No, there's not. Indeed, there's no other rock. I know not one. So again, because he has just declared who he is, he's been there from the beginning, and know that, you know, he's the one that created time. All right, this is why when people say, where'd God come from? And that's usually how they say it, really smarmy like that. Where'd God come from? Say, well, that's a good question. It's a very good question. But you have to understand, when you say, where did God come from, you're saying that there was a beginning for him. Well, beginning only happens in time. Okay, outside of time, there is no beginning, there is no end. In order to have a beginning, that's when time began. And so, and when you read in the very first verse, you know, if you go over here to Genesis 1, it basically tells everything right then and there. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right there, it says, in the beginning, God created. Well, if God created in the beginning, he created time. All right? The heavens and the earth, that is now space, and that's now matter. Okay? In the beginning, all at one time, space, time, and matter were all created at the same time. Dave, how do you know that? I know that because if time wasn't created first, or if time wasn't created at that same time, when was the matter placed there? Okay? If there's time, space, and matter, okay, and you have time, space, and matter, and then space wasn't created at the time that matter was, where would you place it? These all had to happen at the same moment. And who's the one that did it? God. So he created time, space, and matter, which tells us he's outside of time, space, and matter, which means there is no time where he comes from, and no way that you can then bring it into he must have been made at a certain point. No, that happens in time, and he created time. He's outside of time. It's a different dimension. It's called eternity. And that's where we go when we die, putting our faith in him. And so he's outside of that. And so to think that he was created means that he's inside. It's kind of like the person who made the computer is not in the computer. He's outside of that. And so this linear thing called time, God's outside of that. And so that takes away that thought of where did he come from? He didn't come from anywhere. To come from someplace means that it has to be somewhere in time. You have a beginning, you have an end. That only happens in time. He's outside of that, so he has no beginning, and he will have no end. Does that make sense? I think I explained it better when I went through Genesis 1:1. You can always go back to that if you... I spent a little bit more time on that, okay? Now I want you to go to Genesis 12, because remember in verse 8 it says, have I not told you from that time of who he is and what he's done and things like that? Well, in Genesis chapter 12, if you head back over here, this is when God calls Abraham, and he's calling Abraham to have a special relationship, covenant relationship for himself as well as all his descendants, which are the chosen people. Here in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We're going to have this relationship. You're going to be my chosen people and all your descendants that come from me. In when the Lord speaks to Isaac, Abraham's son, he tells him in Genesis 26, verse 24, go over there. Just shoot over here. Just a couple more chapters here. Chapter 26, verse 24. The Lord appears to Isaac, and it says here in verse 24 of chapter 26, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Look what it says. Do not fear. Why? For I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. And then, going back here to Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Why? I would submit to you from the very beginning because you are God's chosen people. You're part of his family. That is why you do not need to fear. In Isaiah 41, 10, it says, fear not. He's speaking to the children of Israel. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Those who claim God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God that the word of God talks about, if that is your God, you have nothing to be afraid. Nothing to be afraid. And the reason you have nothing to be, you're his children. Now guess what? In John, verse 12 of chapter 1 of John, we're told this, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. See, when you are part of the family of God, you do not need to be afraid. Because he is with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. When you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. We went over this last week. And you become a child of God. And as a child of God, he is your God, your Father. And you have nothing to fear. This is why in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Why? Because we're part of his family. That's why. But of power, love, and a sound mind. When you see things through the lens of God, who is with you and in you, you do not fear. Instead, you see the power that you have through the Holy Spirit that God has given you. You see how you're supposed to be able to love others because you're loving him and he first loved you. And it gives you a sound mind. And instead of looking at a trial and going, what's wrong? What did I do wrong? What's happening? It's kind of like, no, I see it through the lens of God who will never leave me or forsake me, that I'm his child, and he's going to use this to develop me to be more Christ-like. And so they have everything there around them. Hello, look at the pillar of cloud. It's right in front of you. Moses tells them, do not be afraid. And then what does he say? Stand still. It could also mean, shut up. Could. Just paraphrasing. They're so scared that they want to run away. He says, stand still. Be quiet. And watch the salvation of the Lord. Remember who's saying this. This is Moses. Mr. Drama Queen himself. Look how much Moses has grown in his faith. This is the same guy who cowered in his responsibility to God's being God's spokesperson right there before at the burning bush. Oh, get someone else. I don't speak well. You're making a mistake, God. You know. Same Moses who also said, I told you so to God when he said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? He goes and speaks to Pharaoh. Pharaoh makes things harder for the people of Israel. And he goes back, I told you so. Why'd you do this? This is the same Moses. I've done that. I play the drama queen all the time. I whine to the Lord with I told you so's. And yet God is so loving. He's so patient. He's so gracious. He's so merciful with me. He waits for me to, you know, put down my skirt and walk with him, you know. It's like, are you done, Nancy? Are you done, little girl? Are you done being a little hysterical little girl? You ready to trust on me? You know. I don't know. I sometimes feel that's how he speaks to me. It might not be. Might be filtered through my own, you know. But Moses has grown in his faith, and now Israel must grow in their faith as well. And so Moses is showing his faith, you know, which is awesome. It's showing how he has grown through this in his time with the Lord. Now it's time for Israel to be still and know that he is God, okay? So here, going back here to Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Stand still, you know. This is often the Lord's direction to believers in time of crisis. You know, don't be despaired. Don't be cast down. Stand still. Kind of collect yourself a little bit. Pray is always a good thing. But stand still and recognize that God is with you. And try and see what's happening through that lens. Fear will tell you to retreat. Impatience will tell you to do something now and foolish. Presumption will tell you to jump into the Red Sea before it parted. Okay? Yet as God told Israel, he often tells us to simply stand still, hold your peace, try and reflect that God is with you, and watch and listen to what it is that he wants you to do next. And in other words, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe that's exactly what happened when they went through the Red Sea. I believe that their strength was renewed as they see the sea parting and then Moses leading the charge. You know, I believe they mount up with the wings of eagles. I believe that there was a little giddy up in their step, okay? And they ran and they weren't weary. And they walked and no one was faint. No one was faint. If you wait on the Lord, you're going to see something amazing happen. And that's what the Israelites got to see here. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." That statement, "Why do you cry to me?" There's a time to pray. There's a time to act. God's saying that is God now teaching Moses a lesson in the sense of going, look, there is a time to pray. There's a time to seek me, but there's also a time to act, okay? And that time is going to be now. It's going to be now. There are some people that we already know what the Word of God says. We just need to do it. And there's some people that say, well, let me pray about it. But you don't need to pray about it. God's Word says to repent of that sin. Yeah, well, I still want to seek him in it. There's nothing to seek. You're in sin. He says to repent. That's the action to take place. It's not going back and reflecting more and this and that. There's a time to do, all right? And so right now is the time that God is teaching Moses. Now's the time to do something, okay? And so it says in verse 16, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So now he's telling him of what he's going to do, what Moses is going to do. Let nothing
ever separate us. Well, that concludes today's edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30. right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.